Happy Monday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, coming to you from an undisclosed location, and this is probably going to turn into a rant. Happy Monday, my ass. Okay, that officially made it a rant. Not a rant or a streaming of not even frustration, just venting, just maybe letting some, and I can probably even say, unwarranted bad feelings or whatever, just anger, not anger, just, okay, bottom line is, okay, here's the bottom line, this is the rough cut of it. I don't ask nobody to do nothing for me, so when people ask me to do stuff for them, it bugs me. I don't like doing stuff for other people. I truly do not enjoy doing stuff for other people. And that's probably not a good statement. That is not the proper statement. But that's the rough cut of it. Because, you know, I do, to a point, like doing stuff for other people. I have a problem with helplessness. Probably for any reason. I have a problem with helplessness. I am not a good host. I even mentioned this last week in another situation at work, or, you know, I saw somebody doing their job, and there are some people who can anticipate what another person or a customer may need, or just, you know, be in service. I'm not a service person. I do not like being in service to people. Maybe that's the way I should put it. I have my agenda. I have my routine. And when that agenda or routine is disturbed, I react. That's probably a good way to put it. And the I don't like doing stuff for other people may be 75% true. It's not really like that, because I do like doing stuff for other people. There's no doubt about it. But more than likely, it's when I want to do it and how I want to do it. And every now and then, I'm not accommodating. I don't like to be accommodating. That might be true. And I might just now be ranting because they woke me up this morning. People come knocking on my door, setting my Monday off, probably in the right way. Wake up feeling this kind of energy. Maybe the way to start the damn week. See, that's one thing about humans. You never know. Sometimes a good ass kicking or some good frustration or some good anger can trigger you into a direction you maybe need to go. And the bottom line is, I love it all. I love it all. I love it all, even the parts I don't like. I love the fact that I can wake up with this kind of being irritated and bugged or whatever, and to have that emotion. Because I know in 3 or 4 days it'll be gone, and my life would be like I'm back living in Disneyland again. But right now, I'm in the moment. People come knocking on my door, talking about picking people up and doing this and doing that. I got to work. I got an agenda. I got a routine. See, I don't ask people. This may not be true. I'll even leave it up to debate whether it's true or not. I don't ask people to do stuff for me. I don't ask people to do stuff for me. Whatever I do, or I go to execute, or I try to accomplish, I set it up and have it planned so that I don't have to ask anybody. I'm not used to including other people in my plans. It's just the way I live. And if I do, I'll hopefully anticipate it far enough in advance to where I can give these other people or sources outside of me well enough time to understand what's going on. We can discuss it. Give them the opportunity to say no. And definitely don't put people in a position to where they can almost not be able to say no. Never do that. I mean, if I do, I understand that I did, and I understand that I put them in a position, and I will feel empathy for that, that I did that. And I will feel bad, quote unquote. I will feel bad that I did that. But there are some people out there who, and it may be a large, I notice more and more. And again, my sister has told me before, and I have to agree with her, I am the anomaly. I am the one living outside the norm. I am the one who may or may not have distanced themselves from people, including family, to a point where I'm not in that normal, quote-unquote, normal, what is seen as normal social interaction between families. Because I've seen some dynamics between people and family that I'm like, I mean, it's different, and we need all kinds. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying for me, that's not the way I would handle it. That's not my basis mode of operation. That would not be. It doesn't seem sustainable to me, but it works with different families. I could probably go on and go say it was dysfunctional. But then again, like I said, there's no right or wrong. There's no one way to do anything. We need all kinds. And maybe dysfunction works. Maybe dysfunction, a dysfunctional family, quote unquote dysfunctional family, may have an angle or a training or understanding that may make them successful in today's society or in the future. You know, maybe that family that learned how to operate in a way that we're not used to operating, if something happened, a catastrophe or something, and that skill or that mode of operation may work for them. And I've seen where in families, things happen. See, I gotta have everything written down and documented and alerted, and it's math. You know, it's math. 1 + 1 = 2. Sometimes in families, 1 + 1 = 4. And I understand that. I'm too methodical. I think that's a good way to put it. I'm too methodical. But anyway, that's my little rant this morning. I have my routine. I have my space. And I may or may not trigger, it may be a strong word, but I definitely react when something or someone interferes in my space. My space is not just my personal space, like the distance around me. Even when I'm driving, people could drive too close to me. Can't stand people tailgating. I just pull over, let them go. Go on your merry way. Time management. I go to bed Sunday night. I'm booked until Monday at 8. The way I have my life set up, I go to bed Sunday night. I'm booked till Monday at 8 when I get off work. That means there's no fat in there. There's no free time. Any free time in there is for me. So to give that up or to have it questioned, I react to it, to put it mildly. And again, I'll say it again, it's possibly that, you know, I'm out of the norm. It's very possible. Most social societies or groups don't do it this way. And I've said before, even if everybody was like me, we'd probably be extinct thousands of years ago. We need all kinds. And we also need to, we don't need to do nothing, but we also should be able to recognize that there's different kinds of people, and some people who may or may not be labeled as selfish or loners, be like almost tagged in a derogatory sort of nature. And even I feel that way. Do I need to think one too? I do. And even I feel that way. Because I've been trained, we've been trained to be social. We've been trained to be social, brother's keeper. You know, nationalism, patriotism, religious, the whole thing from day one. Team, football teams, all teams, we've been trained to be social. Everything, it's about everything. It's playing well with others, sharing, getting along. Not just getting along is different. Just actually sharing and being groups, solidarities, unions, working together, teamwork, all of that. And we need it. It's important. I just ain't one of them. I just never been. I mean, that's the only way I can put it. I just never been. You know, I come in, I do my part, show me my role. Hopefully, I'll understand how my role fits into the bigger scheme of the picture. Hopefully, I'll see that, you know, if I do my position and I execute what I'm supposed to execute, it fits into the bigger part of what we're all doing. I'll understand the other player parts. I'll understand. I mean, it's just me. I'm gonna look to see not just where my picture fits in, but I mean, where my actions and my role fits in. I want to know how it fits into the bigger picture, and it will make me do my role bigger, better, I believe. Look at my teeth. They owe me $2,500 to get that fixed. My teeth was perfect. My teeth used to be perfect. My teeth used to be perfect. See my lip? There's like something growing there or something. It's just not like dead lip skin. There's something happening in there. I probably got to go back and get it. There's sensitivity to it. And I probably got to go back and have that looked at. Because the dude just sewed me up in the emergency room. 6 o'clock in the morning. Probably need some kind of cosmetic surgery. I don't know. But, I don't know, that's just me. Happy Monday. I feel better after talking to you guys. Thank you for being here for me. Thank you for being here for me. I really appreciate it. I need you. Oh, I need you so much. I need you. I need you. I need everyone. See, I need people too. I need people too. I need people too, but I don't be asking them to do nothing for me. I don't ask nobody to do nothing for me. That's just not the way I operate. I just don't. I can remember Pete Bunk shows. You know, people, well, I ain't gonna say especially Pete Bunk. Well, I know a lot of people will ask for tickets, you know. I've seen people ask band members routinely, you know, people for tickets and expect tickets. Expect, oh, when he come here, I wasn't on the list. How come I didn't get on the list? And there's been a couple of times where I kind of got caught up in that. There's been a couple of times that where I was in the I better be on the list mentality. Or, you know, why can't, you know, not necessarily they better get me in. And I mean like two. I mean like very few. I didn't rely on that. That was not my go-to. When I was on the list and stuff, I was working for it. I earned it. When I was doing my part, I was working. I was working hard. I worked hard. I worked hard, too. And it felt good. It felt good. Because that's just the way I am. But, I mean, it's probably may have been a few times to where it was, I was in a mode of operation to where I felt, you know, I should have been on the list. How come I'm not on the list? And I definitely could say it mostly correlated tightly with my financial situation. If I had the money, I'd stay out of that. If I had the money, you know, I'd stay completely. I'd avoid that kind of situation completely. But there was times where things were kind of tight, and that's the where my mentality went. But I've seen people, you know, dealing with Pete Funk, as fans or whatever, talking about, I ain't going because so-and-so don't put me on the list no more or something like that. I've never been that person. Never, ever, 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 ever. And then I remember when I want to put it the right way. I don't want to say anything out of the box. But I remember when the list tightened up. It used to be a free-for-all. I remember that. Pete Funk list used to be like almost free-for-all. Then it tightened up. And after it tightened up, I think I had already been kicked off. And I shouldn't even say kicked off. I probably should stop saying I got kicked off the list. I should probably say I was fired, voluntarily fired. Suicide. I got fired and I probably asked for it. I probably needed to get fired. You know, because I go back. I'm not a team player. So I should probably say I wasn't kicked off the list. I should probably stop saying that. It was more that, you know, my actions led to it, and I probably knew that they would, or I should have known, or I didn't care. And being, you know, losing that advantage or that, what's the word when you get something nice? What do I think about? We're losing that echo something. A starts with an A. You know. Was something that, you know, I just did. So I really can't say. But then after that, I got off and then I started working. And I had a situation. My situation was better. To where getting tickets and stuff. You know, I was able to get tickets and afford tickets. You know, I had some help. And that's when, you know, the list started tightening up and I'm starting hearing people moaning and groaning about. Now, there's some people who do that and I don't want to use the word justified. But I've seen more than one person say, I've done this, I done put in work, and they expecting they should be on the list. I've seen a lot of people do that. And I've said it too, right? And I just said it. But in my role, I can tangibly show you what I did that quote unquote brought in revenue for the person I was doing it for, and a tangible act in which it was negotiated, you know. So it wasn't no like no ethereal, you know, I did this, I did that, I did this for the band, I did this for the band. They should, blah, blah, blah. You know, my deal was worked out, agreed upon. And I was like, all right, I'll do this, do this. And then, you know, you hook me up like that. And I was like, fair enough. It was fun. I enjoyed it. You know, and it's also fun for me to complain about how hard it was, too. And that's part of, you know, the coolness of it, if you ask me. But I remember people saying, you know, I just don't like doing stuff for other people. I don't like being in service to other people. I don't like being in service to anything outside of myself. And probably I don't even like being in service to myself. I only want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Now you might say, well, that's everybody. And we just can't be that way. And I'm calling bullshit. I can do any goddamn thing I want to. And of course you can take my argument apart. You can break it down to us. Do the particulars to the granular level and see that nobody does nothing on their own. But then again, there's also the other end of the spectrum where some people are helpless and they can't do nothing on their own. So there's a middle, there's a range. It's not even a gray area. It's a huge spectrum of what I believe should be obligatory self-obligation to oneself. Some people probably physically can't do that. Some people through injury or illness or this or that may or may not have the capability to take care of themselves. They can be incapacitated, helpless in that manner. And to be honest, and even though I know it's not their fault, and though I probably am sympathetic to this situation, and if you notice I said probably sympathetic, that should give you an indication on how I feel about it. If I have to say, if I use the word probably sympathetic towards somebody's somebody has health issues that they didn't ask for, or they didn't, you know, just put on them, you know, out of something they didn't, that maybe quote unquote may not be responsible for, and a degree of helplessness results from that, I still may have issue or it still may be a problem for me to deal with that. That's just the way I'm wired. That's just the way I'm wired. It's just, and it could be, you know, it's not like, you know, I really raised anybody. You know, I'm a parent and I hung out with my, and I like to believe that I had an influence on my niece with her growing up, and, you know, people around me, I believe, I don't know for sure, but I think the people around me, you grow up, like even granddaughter, it starts at that low, it starts at age before two. Now, you don't expect them to go out there, cut their own damn grass, you don't expect them to, you know, go out and get a job and pay rent, But there's little responsibilities that I like to make sure she has. Like picking up her own stuff. Like if she drops something, you go pick it up. I didn't drop it. Like little stuff. Let them know that when you with me, I ain't gonna be doing all of that. Ain't gonna be none of that. Dropping your bottle on the floor and then crying. It'll stay on the floor. Now, if it's done on accident, you know, I'll get it once or twice. I'm gonna do it again. That means you didn't want the damn bottle. Like little stuff, you know, just let them know that there's some accountability to your action. Like I said, I ain't expecting them to go out and get a job. I ain't expecting them to change their own diaper or, you know, do this or do that. But I look at her, she look at me. I hope she see on the look on her face that, all right, you know, you play a part in this too. Whatever's happening, we're a team. And I think it starts at that early age. And mothers, that nurturing, I can't think of the words, when mother nature, and then mother, you know, mother to child, that not even a bond, that natural, I think natural instinct, not natural, but an instinct. I say not natural because I was talking to somebody and they were in a situation where they saw something where a mother didn't have that for their child. And it was chilling from when they were telling me about it. It was chilling, the event or whatever happened, that where a mother didn't have that instinct, that motherly love or that protection or whatever that is, that nurturing thing for their child. And that made my skin crawl. Just the idea of it. But that instinct, you know, it's tough. I mean, I don't know how they do it. I mean, and I think that's the way it's supposed to be. And when I say supposed to be, I mean, you know, rough, loosely, that it aided in our evolution. It aided in our development. Probably crucial. Probably extremely crucial to the success of our species. Because that bond, it has to go before being human. That, I've seen things, wizardry and magical. And I've seen mothers do some stuff that just can't be explained, basically. And so that, I forget where I was going down that road, that is kind of hard. Not hard, but that has to be factored in to all this too. I mean, because you can't be like me where I don't like doing nothing for nobody. What is that about? What is that about? I don't like doing nothing for nobody. What is that about? And some people might say, well, nobody does. But you just have to. None of us wants to do anything for anybody. Well, then, I don't want nobody doing nothing for me either. I really don't want nobody doing nothing for me. People do stuff for me, like, stop. Because number one, it makes me feel like I'm obligated to do something for them. And past experience has told me, as soon as you do something for somebody, they ain't gonna forget. I mean, as soon as somebody do something for you, they ain't gonna forget. And it may come a time, or it may not come a time. It may come a time, or it may not come a time, to where they ask you to do something for them. Even if they didn't do something for you. And then they remember, oh, didn't I? Blah, 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 this for you. I'll tell you one time I remember her. A friend of mine sent me some PubMix. Because I was posting, I love PubMix. And she sent me some PubMix, and I didn't ask for it. you know, like two big jars. It was all cool, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, thanks. I didn't ask for it. I accepted it graciously, I believe. You know, and I'm like, you know, I might say how much I owe you, or, you know, I'm sure I went through the pleasantries, but how much I owe you, or, you know, what's, you know, is there anything I can do to compensate? I'm sure I said all that stuff, you know. And it was like, no. And then later, they asked me to do something for them. And I was like, what the hell? You can order that stuff on Amazon. You know, that's my first reaction. What? And they reminded me of the Pub Mix. As soon as they reminded me of the Pub Mix, my whole intention or attitude changed. My whole attitude changed towards, I'm like, oh, okay. Now, granted, I was still, quote unquote, upset that they did something for me, giving me the Pub Mix that made me feel obligated to do something for them. They just wanted me to send me to some different kind of potato chips that I may or may not have access to. And I forget how I did it, but I was somewhere. Oh, I was in Ohio. And I went and gathered up, because in Ohio I can get these Utz kind of potato chips or these flavors or whatever. You know, and they couldn't get them. So I just went and got a box and threw them all in a box and shipped them. See, that's why I don't like people doing stuff for me, because to reciprocate, to justfully reciprocate, and I justfully is subjective. For me to reciprocate or to respond to their good nature in a level in which I could, at a level which I appreciate and respect. You know, that's why I don't like people doing stuff for me. See, I just talk what? Talk for 45, whatever, how many minutes? About social interaction. I'm just not used to it. I'm the outlier. I'm the unicorn. I'm the one on the outside of it. I'm the one who don't want to be bothered. And I won't bother you. You don't bother me. And in the few times that I do bother you, I ask for your help or assistance, I'm going to do my best to accommodate you, fully explain it. It ain't going to be no, I need help, what can you do? Like, leave everything up to me, figure it out, do this, do that. That kind of helplessness. I may ask for somebody for a task, or some money, or resource, or access. I'll clearly explain why I need it, how I need it, what I can do to compensate them, explain my situation. You know, ain't no casual. Hey! I'm going out of town. You cut my backyard. Well, see, even that may in these ways that could be done right or wrong in my mind. Again, when I say right or wrong, this is purely subjective what I believe. That could be either be done the right way or the wrong way, according to Jeffrey Mitchell. According to this philosophy that I'm talking about right now. I just don't like to be obligated. Obligation and responsibility. I think this all may break down. I think this all may break down to obligation and responsibility. Simple as that. Simple as that. Obligation and responsibility. I try to minimize it, to say the least. my obligation, or anybody's obligation, responsibility, either way, to me or for me. I just don't like those entanglements. Alliances. I may even have trouble with alliances. I'm just a severe proponent of independence. Severe. And I don't care. I love that word. I don't care. That's your problem. And it sounds callous. It sounds, you know, but I really don't. I mean, I do care, but I care enough to react. And since I care enough to react, that's the means I do care a little bit. That means it does have an effect on me and I do react. If I react, that means I care. And this is what everything makes me react. So basically I do care about everything. It's just the level at which I care. No, the level at which I'm gonna let it affect me or take, assume responsibility for it, or buy into it or become a part of it. Happy Monday, boys and girls. Happy Monday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. That's why I like doing stuff by myself. I really do. And I kind of got away from doing stuff by myself. But I'm getting back into it. Like, I'm going to the game in Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. I'm going by myself. I can't. I mean, I say I can't. I can't. I'm being dramatic. But, you know, I just want to be able to get up at my own pace. Don't got to call nobody. You got to make sure everybody ready. Don't got to pick nobody up. I can start when I want to, go when I want to, get there early as I want to. And because I've done this so much, I'm much more efficient. Well, it's efficient if there's not two people steering. Because if you go someplace with somebody, they're going to have input. They definitely going to have input. Especially if you're back there where they live. And some of the input is going to be beneficial. They can say, oh, go here, go here, go here. They might find the perfect spot, cheaper spot to park, where everybody partying, you know, whatever. They may know, there may be some inside information, you know, that you can get from collaborating. But I'm cool. I'm cool with getting there early like I do, by myself, do what I do, drive up there, listen to the music I want to, hearing only the thoughts in my head, not having to talk, not having to participate, get to the game, go to my seat, don't gotta worry about other people's tickets, where they at, how they getting in. You know. I think you know. But some people might, and that's cool. Some people might not even understand that. How can you go by yourself? I know, isn't it, how's that fun? You're just by yourself, you're blah, 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 blah. And I do realize though, and I probably don't care. I mean, since I did realize, I probably didn't care about it. You know, to a little bit. I'll be talking. I talk in my own house, and I was sitting at work. We usually sit on the third floor, but last time we were sitting on the fourth floor, so we were sitting like amongst another department, and it was quiet. You know, people on there like best behavior, soft spoken, having office voices. I don't have an office voice no more. It's probably just not from working from home. Even when I'm working from home, I talk to myself. I was like, I'm noisier than this when I'm home by myself. I mean, I just talk to myself and say what I gotta say. And I don't have no TV on, no music. It ain't that kind of noise. It's just, you know, I express. So when I go to the game, I'm talking out loud. I'm like, oh, here comes Sosa. He's like, oh, here comes. I was like, TJ out of pass cover. Because I'm actually talking to everybody anyway. I don't care if they listen to me or not. I'm saying it enough like we're all in a group. I'm not talking to the person next to me. I'm here by myself talking to everybody. And hopefully it encouraged people to talk back. We all here together. We just all talking. It's not like your group, your family, my family. I don't care if it is. But I'm just talking to the universe anyway. I do be doing that. I be thinking, oh, TJ, come on, TJ. Even, you know, I'm talking to the team. I'm talking to the universe. I'm talking to myself. It's like there's nobody else around. And I'm probably not talking in a soft tone of voice either. And every now and then, you know, you see people look up at me. I'm like, oh. And then some people get into it and they start talking back. And we both be talking out loud to each other, but in a broader sort of, you know, like we're talking to everybody in the area. And you can participate too if you want to. If not, I'm cool. Because I can go off into my own thing. And that's one of the things about this Jeffrey that I've created and evolved to, that we've created, this Jeffrey that we have created and that I've evolved into, that 60-year-old Jeffrey just don't give a damn. It's putting it too crudely, but it's something along them lines. I'm just there. I just do what I want. And that's all I ever wanted to do. I just want to do what I want. And I can remember through my teens and childhood, early adulthood, going to my 30s, 40s, everything I did was focused towards independence. Just about everything I did from the moment I got divorced. And marriage was probably not a good thing for me. I was young. I was into it. I wasn't fighting it. I was hoping it would work. I was happy. Some of the best moments of my life came in that union. I should say, I can say some of the best moments, best feelings I've ever had in my life came in that union. But they were fleeting. They didn't last. They were spikes and flashes. But they were some of the highest points of happiness or excitement or joy, whatever, I ever felt came from that. And I remember saying, if I ever get out of this, I ain't never. And sure enough, you know, I've been in relationships. You can almost even say I live with people. Or I definitely live with people since then, you know. And it was good. And then it wasn't. I got out. I was even going to get married again. Come to think about it. It was in the paper even. What am I talking about? I almost forgot all about that. I was going to get married again. It was even in the paper. That kind of fell to the wayside. May have rushed into that. But it was, even that was good. Even that was some of the best feelings. Highest points of joy. You know? Even that. And my other relationships. I mean, those moments of joy and togetherness and peak moments of intimacy. Now, I ain't talking about necessarily the sexual part, just that beautiful closeness of just being with each other. That right moment, that right TV program, that right food, that right temperature, that right mood. It's the best. It's the best. It's the highest, I believe. I think it's the highest and best feeling a human being can have, but I've said before, it's fleeting. It goes and comes. It can't be sustained, and it shouldn't be sustained. It's almost like a euphoria. I think it's like a euphoria that shouldn't be, that shouldn't be sustained. So I mean, we need other people. I need other people. Now the question may be, question may turn around to be, how do I get as far as intimate relationships, how does that work? Because intimate relationships require commitment, a level of commitment and responsibility and obligation. And what's the word? I can't think of words today. And compromise that I may be incapable of doing. Actually, I can do anything I want, but yeah, you know, my happiness or my well-being may suffer if I become something or someone for a situation that doesn't gel with my internal policy. So I think this was a good discussion. I think this was a good discussion. This woke up. See what happens? I woke up a little bit triggered or irritated. It generates that kind of emotion to get things out. You can explore. I can explore parts of my understanding that I may or may not feel or be can get in touch with when I'm happy or in a different kind of mood or my vibration. Sometimes your vibration got to be at a certain level to get there. To go butterfly. I turn this around if I could. Look, it's still walking with me. Hey, I can show you the butterfly. It's been going with me. Can you see it? Oh, there it goes. Bye, butterfly. You coming back? Come on back, butterfly. It's me and you. Come on, see it came back. Can you see it? No. I don't know what you can see. It was walking with me for a while. It was flying. I was walking. But anyhow, speaking on y'all two times, my name is Jeffrey Scott Metro. And I'm pretty sure a lot of you can hear just by the way I say my name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, how much I mean it, how much it means to me to be me, to experience me. Nothing greater. I don't believe there could be anything greater. At least on a personal level. I mean, guaranteed on a personal level. And then when you think of macro, hey, it's back. Or is that another one? That's a smaller one. On a macro level, we're talking about the individual happiness in relation to the happiness of all of humanity, or even the whole Earth, Sun Earth ecosystem for life, period. Still exploring that. Got a few years of research, but right now, my objectivistic view is self. S-E-L-F. Self. Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. And I hope, well, I don't know about hope, but I do hope that each and every one of you does have some of that, some sense of yourself. That I do, I can say. Because like I said, everybody can't be like me. There wouldn't be no nurses. There would be no nurturers. We need all kinds. Just like I'm not necessarily an enforcer, like a policeman. Because, you know, you growing up, there's some kids that they know from day one they want to be a policeman. That's what they want to do. And as they get older, they start to develop things. You know, they start, like, be wearing handcuffs and, you know, learning the rules, you know, picking up stuff on their own time before they get formal training. pushes them towards being that. Some people, I know people who said they're going to be a police officer or some kind of enforcement early in their life. And their nature seemed to be pushed that way. Their personality and nature seemed to either grow in that direction or it was already that way. And they found something they could grow into. So we need all kinds. Anyhow, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the funk. And for every elementary particle that has ever existed in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be, it's a totality of it all, y'all. A theory of universe. A hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey. I said, my name is Jeffrey. I said, my name is Jeffrey.